like a good computer. So my name's Mark. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm so grateful to be with you this Sunday. And for those of you who have been with us all throughout the summer, our summer teaching series has been a little bit different. Instead of grabbing a text and preaching our way through, which is what we typically do, we've been interviewing different people from our congregation and listening for how God has been at work in and through their lives. And so this is the last of our summer series this morning. Next week, we're going to launch into a preaching series through the Gospel of John, and I'm really excited about it. But we've got some very special guests for you this morning. Many of you know that when all of us leave on Sunday morning after the 11 o'clock service, that almost right away, another church comes and gathers in our building. North Shore Iranian Church has been meeting in our facility for many, many years now, and God has been doing a powerful work among Farsi-speaking people here on the North Shore. And Dariush and Layla are giving pastoral leadership to this growing, dynamic community. And their story is so powerful, I've asked them to come and join us. So I want to invite you to join me in welcoming them to the stage. So come on up. So there are so many different parts to your story that we could talk about. We only have so much time. So maybe begin, Dariush and Layla, just by telling us a little bit about the family you grew up in and where you grew up.
Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for inviting us. So I am from Iran, and I grew up in a Muslim family. We are six sisters. My parents, they were looking for boys, and never happened. I am the oldest child. Yeah, and I'm here. Wonderful. I am from part of, it's called Azerbaijan Gharbi. It's a little town called Salmas. And I am talking Kurdish. My language is Kurdish, my first language.
Yes.
And I am able to talk Farsi, Azeri, a little bit Turkish, and 50-70% English.
Oh, it's a lot better than that.
Thanks.
Yeah, the same. I'm from Iran. Actually, we are cousin. This is a secret. Don't tell anyone.
Don't say that.
Yeah. Layla's father, my father, they're brothers. So in our culture, we can get married. I know some, maybe you guys, it's a little hard to understand that. So actually, we are Kurd from Iran. Our first language is Kurdish. We speak Kurdish. And we live northwest of Iran. And the village, I grew up, and Layla grew up in the city, in the village. And we saw the first picture that we saw. This one, exactly the same place and home I was got born. So this is the place.
This is our grandfather's house.
Yeah.
So, Dariush, did you have brothers or sisters as well?
Oh, yes. We are four brothers and three sisters. So, actually, we were eight. The last one passed away because he was sick, and he was the reason that I asked God, who are you?
And we're going to get to that part
sure.
of the story later, because
yes.
that's... So, Dariush and I had lunch together earlier in the week, and he was sharing his story, and there's so many interesting parts, but one of the things that I found fascinating is your father's profession. So you said that where you grew up in Iran, your father was a farmer, but because of the mountainous area, as the seasons began to change, farming wasn't very productive, so he needed to find another kind of work. So
exactly.
Maybe tell us about what kind of work your father and much of the village did and how you followed in his footsteps.
Yeah. So, as you said, their job was farming, and my dad was farmer, but the farming system in our area depends on the weather and climate. So, the climate changed, and there wasn't, enough income from farming, and they started smuggling, because we were living close to the border of Turkey. So, I can say 2 kilometers, just by walking, maybe 20 minutes. You can get reach the border, and my father, our villages, they're starting to smuggling. You see the picture over there, and that's the smuggling how we did. So preparing to go to the border, it was the year 2005, and And the border, there were lots of security soldiers. We paid them, but sometimes it's hard to communicate with them, and they'll shoot us.
Okay.
Yes. And during the smuggling, that's my car. I took this picture. And it's a mountain way, so we bring stuff to smuggle to cross the border. As I said, yeah, I lost 9 of my friends and relatives in this way. And their age were between 19 to 25, and they were killed and in front of my eyes. And that's my story. Yeah.
So this is not just about the climb, like the weather or the things. People lost their job or they didn't have any income. This is what, like, it was political.
Yeah.
It was the government. So they cut everything from Kurdish, the people who they are living in border, and the people who in the past, they protect Iran. They protect Iranian people, so they cut everything. They what they put them down, they never were the Kurdish people talk. So that's why the people didn't have anything. And maybe you guys heard from Kurdish in Iraq or any other part of the Middle East, so what they are doing. Because there is no right for them, it's nothing. If they don't do smuggling, I'm not saying it's right, but they cannot live.
Yes, right.
Yeah, it was desperation that drove you. A couple of years ago, I had the opportunity to go to northern Iraq, Kurdistan, again, Kurdish people, and they're very much in the same kind of situation where to be Kurdish ethnically means that you're a second-class citizen. And the same rights and freedoms that the rest of the country enjoy are not applied to them.
That's right.
So what kinds of things did you smuggle?
Oil, drugs, computer stuff, car stuff, sometimes guns, don't tell anyone. And but when I become Christian, just to kind of just jump from there, I smuggled again, but I smuggled Bible to Iran. The same thing, but for Jesus. Yeah, but we smuggled everything, bring people from Middle East to immigrate to Western countries. So everything that could make money for us.
That means Jesus is very smart. So he chosen us, not we are good people, but he chosen us to use us.
Amen.
And then because in Iran, so the people cannot have a Bible, so they don't have a right to go to churches. They don't have a right to read the Bible. But God chose us to send smuggling the Bible to them. And so the God words always work,
yeah.
Always.
That's
always.
Right. God always makes a way. Yeah, the Lord is so good. So maybe share with everyone your journey to faith. So you both grew up in Muslim families, and Dariush, you said that when your I think it was your brother
yes.
who passed away, you yep. began to ask questions about who are you, God, and why would you allow this to happen to my brother? So maybe talk about your journey to faith.
My youngest brother, he was born in disability, so he has like 90%, he was disabled. So he couldn't walk, eat, speak, and he suffered for 13 years. And I was seeing that situation. And I started asking questions, why that happened? I asked my wife, my mother, why my brother is like that? Because my mother, she used to smoke. And I thought maybe the problem is my mother's health. But then I asked God, so you are the creator. So I think this is your problem that you love the people born in this situation. So I started to study about Islam. I read Quran many times with different translations, but I couldn't find my answers. And the other reason that I asked God, because there wasn't any justice in my area, and we were killed because we didn't have any job. We smuggling. It wasn't a good job. It was stressful, dangerous. So I asked God why other people, other nations in my country, in the rest of the world, they have happy life, they have jobs. But why this has happened to me? Is that because government? Because of human? No, I said, it's your problem. You created us, and you need to answer me. And I was 17, I asked these kind of questions. And from 17, I became an atheist. I didn't believe anything. So I was a dangerous man, without belief, without sensitive smuggling. So The only things I believe was money. Do anything you need to do, just make money.
May I add something?
Yes.
So we were so young, we got married. I was 17, we got engaged, and Darish was 21.
21.
So yeah, after 9 months, we got married. So as I married the man who I loved, and when I came to his life, oh my gosh, this man is so dangerous. So I wasn't a religion person, but I love God. But I didn't know it's wrong. And from that past religion which I grew up, so it was scare everything. You scare ask God question. You scare to be mad at God. And Darish always was mad at him. And whatever I talk to him or we want to have a little fight, he always put God in the middle because I scared of him. And then I always shut and he wouldn't say anything because I knew he doesn't know him, he didn't want to hear about him, and it was so hard for me.
So we're going to talk a little bit more about when the two of you started considering Jesus, but no, the two of you as followers of Jesus now, and you're talking about the differences between Islam and Christianity, even God, there's a fear, an unhealthy fear. So maybe help us a little bit, because one of the regular messages in our Western culture is that when it comes to religion, all religions are kind of the same, right? Islam, Christianity, Buddhism, like it's all kind of the same. The two of you know different. So what are some of the differences between Islam and Christianity?
You know, Islam believes that, they actually claim that they are the rest of the Abraham religion, like Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Muhammad believes that the same God that talked to Moses talked to Abraham, to Muhammad. So Islam believes that they are the complete religion. But when you read Quran, they have many times in Quran, Allah says, kill. In Arabic word says, قَتَلَ فِي سَبِيلَ اللَّهِ. Kill in God's way, because of God killed people. So when you come back to Christianity, Jesus is love. Love your enemy. It couldn't be the same God. I mean, God said, kill your enemy, but here it says, love your enemy 600 years before Islam. But for us, it's not even one person the same thing, the same belief. There is no peace. But I can say, maybe some people are here, they are Muslim, so I respect them. But most of Muslim people, they don't read Quran. They just hear one of the leaders, the religious leaders talk about them. But in Quran, many times, Allah says, kill. And when you kill, just say, Allahu Akbar.
So, I was young. I was searched to found God. I loved him. And I told you, the fear and I remember I was grade 3, I was 9 years old, and I always wanted to be right person. I lied a lot. So I always lied to my mom or at the class. I wanted to be cool child. I always lied. I always put my friends to the hard time and always wants to be nice in front of the teacher. And I knew it's wrong. It's not true. It's not real me. So I just said, okay, so God, I want to talk to you and I want to promise for third time if I lied, so then I'm nothing. And I remember I wrote 3 papers and then I said, I promise to you, I won't lie. I promise to you, I won't lie. And the third one again, I promise to you, I won't lie. And then hide them behind the carpet. And I remember the first day when I lied, I tore one and I was crying. The second day again, the third time. And I was crying a lot. And I was desperate. So what can I do? I am not going to be the right person. I was 9, and I was searching for God. But I couldn't hear the answer from Allah. I prayed when I was a teenager. I fast. So nothing. Like everybody has different experience with God. So mine was different than Darius. He denied God, Allah said, I don't know him, I don't want to hear about him. But for me, it was always, search him, okay, who is he? And for me, if you want to talk to Muslim people, just talk about love of God and then ask them, you're going to pray for them. And that's going to change their heart right away. Mm. Because they are believing in prayer. Mm. And they know Christian prayer is top. It's one. And Muslim people, so their religion, they always say they're top, they're one. And they always say from their book, they say, we are completed religion. So that's why if you guys talk to them, if they don't, you know, listen to your words or anything, don't take it personally because it comes from somewhere. It says, you are complete. You are the one. You are perfect. And if you see a lot of things happening in the Middle East or the lot of war or anything from ISIS, those ones, they say, we are perfect. So who is not perfect? We're going to force them to be perfect. Or if they don't accept us, we are to kill them. We're going to kill them. So that's the difference. And for me, just God touched my heart and bring me because I was searching for him and I was looking for love. And I wanted to know, okay, as a child, 9 years old, I knew. So I cannot control those things inside me. It seems it always comes. So what's going to happen to me? When I'm 9, I cannot be right person. How am I going to be right person? When I'm 34, how am I going to be? When I'm going to the heaven? Yeah. That's the big question.
So, Dariush, you told me that at one point you had a friend who was a Christian, and he invited you to go to church. And that was the beginning of you beginning to contemplate Jesus. Maybe tell us about that.
The other part of my life, I joined political groups, which called PKK, PKK. They are kind of fighters against Turkey government. I support them, I buy gun for them, I pay the money. So when I got in trouble in Iran, so I escaped from Iran, I came to Turkey, I became a refugee in Turkey. I never heard that before, that one Muslim can become a Christian. I wasn't interested about religion, honestly, it was 2007. I came in Turkey, so in 10 years, I never was interested about religion. So I got a friend there, he asked me to go to the church. So I went to the church, not because of to know who Jesus was, to find a girlfriend.
See?
And I had a wife. Imagine.
And he has son too.
Yeah, so that's why as a pastor here, I talk to our congregation, our people, don't put any filter in the doors. Let everyone come in. It's not the problem. It's not important that why they come. Let them just come in. And I went to the church, and so many times I went, and one time I remember that the pastor was preaching. I cannot remember the exact message of that day, but the only sentence that changed my mind, changed my life, was this sentence: God loves everyone unconditionally. And after the service, I asked him, God loves Hitler? He said, yes. I said, God loves Saddam? Saddam, you know, the president of Iraq, killed many people, especially Kurdish people. I said, yes. And I told him, God loves me? He said, yes. And I told him, do you know why I'm here? He said, no, I don't know. I even don't want to know. I told him, I'm here because of not Jesus. He said, it doesn't matter. Jesus loves you. And that was the beginning of, wow, who is this guy? Different guy. I love my wife because it's my wife. I love my son because of my son, my father because of my son. Why God loves me? I'm nothing for him. Why? And that was the beginning of the faith of Christianity for me.
One of the things that you said is that when you became a Christian, that became a source of frustration between the two of you.
Yes.
Because you wanted to go to the Christian church, you were going to the mosque, and the time came where the two of you decided for a period you would not go to the Christian church and you would not go to the mosque.
Exactly.
But Dariush, you told me that the day came when Layla said, I want to go with you to the Christian church. Yeah. And you heard a message there that day. Can you maybe tell us a little bit about...
Sure. So as we said, Darish was a refugee in Turkey and I was in Iran. So for me, it was so hard with our community, relatives. We are very close families and relatives. We visited each other, neighbors, cousins. So it's not like here. We are so busy. Yeah, here. Yeah. So and all people over there, they were laughing at me. They were chasing me. And they said, you're young, so your husband fled to Turkey. Look at your life. So you're a miserable person. And they really put me down. And I was so sad and always cried. So once I called Dariush and I said, what are we going to do? Look at this life. So you're there, I'm here. What's going to happen to our son? And then he just said one thing. So Leila, Jesus promised me to heal our life. Jesus. Jesus.
Yeah.
For me, it was so strange because the man who I knew, he never talked about prophet. Jesus, for me, was prophet on that time. And he never talked about God. He would say, we're going to do our way. We're going to build it. We can use our brain strength, so we're going to think what we're going to do. But now he's saying something strange, something different, because on that time I was 6 years with him. So we've been married for 6 years on that time. And, okay, I said, okay, that's fine. So I talked to my dad. My dad, he reads Quran a lot. So I said, Dad, Darish is saying, like, Jesus is going to heal our life. What does that mean? So he said, you know what, Western people, they believe in Jesus. Maybe you guys are going to there, maybe that's why. So it didn't make sense for me. So I waited until I visit him. My mother-in-law and maybe decided to go and visit Darish in Turkey. So as we sat just in one room and say, hey, how are you? I didn't say, hey, how are you? I didn't know this word where come from. It was me. I just said, are you Christian?
And I said, yes.
And then he said, yes. And for me, I didn't know Muslim can become, because he wasn't Muslim, honestly. So I didn't care on that time. I didn't say anything. And he asked me, are you okay with that? I said, yeah, I'm okay with that. So I know who you are. I'm okay.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. And after that, once he came to me and said, church people, they want to go picnic. Do you want to come with us? I said, yeah, of course. I really want to come and know them. So I went there. There were some people. They were making fun of Muslim people and Muhammad. So on that time, I was Muslim. I was so sad. We came home. I had a big fight with him. I said, you know what? If Christian people come to the mosque, no one gonna go and make a joke of them and laugh at them. So they are so disrespectful, and then I don't like them. And why you became Christian? Okay, you want to choose Jesus or me. So you have to think about it. He thought, so I am just, okay, angry like that. But I was so serious. I was so serious. And I said, no, I'm going to divorce. You have to choose. Darish was the man who forget everything about our engagement. Our marriage, the good time we did have together, the restaurant we got, my favorite one. And he always said, yeah. I said, what was the restaurant name? He always said, I don't know. On that night, for a few hours, he was crying and he was talking. Why we got married? Which restaurant was my favorite restaurant? When he had accident, when he saw me, he had accident. He saw me, he just crashed. So, and then he was saying those stuff, and then I was saying, okay, this is not him, because it's been 6 years I am with him, and he never talked to me like that. Right. This is something different. On that night, something touched my heart, and I didn't tell him. I waited, and I waited. And so he told me, how about you go and watch Jesus movie? What is the English name? Jesus movie?
The movie?
Yeah.
Passion Christ? The Passion of Christ?
Yes. So I watched the movie. Honestly, I scared again. And I want to overcome that fear. I want to say, I want to come with you. I want to come to the church. But something was didn't let me. Something was, I don't know. I couldn't even stay at home. I was scared. So you know that past
Yes. Yeah. Fear of God.
Yes, yes. And then once it was Sunday morning, I said, "Are you going to church?" He just looked at me like that. He was scared. I said, "No."
Can I say something that you missed from here? Sure. So when I was talking to Layla about Jesus, so we argued. I was talking through my heart, but she didn't accept. And at the end, she said, "Okay, okay, you don't go to the church.
Yeah, forget that.
I don't go to the mosque." She never go to the mosque, but she asked me, "You don't go to the church, don't read the gospel in this home. I don't want to read the Quran in this home." I said, "Okay." So for 1 week, we didn't say anything about our faith. But I went to prison of my Lord and asked him, "You are starting to come to my life. But as I know you, you are the God that you are love. You don't want it to, we are separate. So I'm just going to ask you to do what you wanted to do. My part is done." So I didn't say anything. It was morning Sunday, and we were eating breakfast, and Layla said, "What time you guys go to the church?" I said, "Church? Yeah, 5, like here, at the same time." Say, "Yes. Do you want to go to the church?" I said, "No. Let's go." And I was in touch with my pastor, and they were praying for Layla. I said, "Hey, she want to go up to the church." I don't know why. And it wasn't like huge building church. It was a small home and a home church. And we were 25 person in that home.
Yeah, so I was thinking it's going to be, you know, those European churches. They are really beautiful because we saw it in TVs, movies. So we gone and Dorish didn't say anything. I said, "Oh my gosh, it's very old house. And they are humble people. Between 20-25, they're not dressed up, they're normal, everything is normal." So I just sat over there and I had scarf on, I had hijab, and no one had hijab, so they didn't look at me strange like that, they were all normal, all like you guys, happy and welcome me warm. So we sat there and the worship started, my heart was there. I was holding it, "Don't go, let me, I think." But my heart was with worship. And then after that, the pastor started preaching, talk about the old lady. She just had, let's say, one penny, and then she wanted to give it to God. And Jesus said, "She be accepted. When I hear that things, and God just take me back. Who I was, and I always thought, okay, God loves rich people, loves beautiful people. Maybe those are good people because they are rich, they're beautiful, they dress up very well. But that old lady didn't have anything. So she gave that penny to the God. What's she gonna do afternoon? What's she gonna do tomorrow?" And something said, "So she has God? Wow." I just, after the preach, so the pastor said, "Anyone wants I pray for him?" I said, "I wanna." They all look at Darish.
Did they look at me? I don't know. What's happening?
He didn't know I wanna go and say, "I wanna become a Christian."
I didn't know that.
So the pastor asked me, "Sister, what can I do for you? What's your name?" I said, "I'm Layla. I wanna become Christian." And then he started praying for me, and the tears were falling down, not because... You know what? Because I am nothing and he's accepting me. And my body was shaking, and from that day until now, so I'm always saying, I was broken person, he healed me. I was down, he lifted me up. I don't know, I was in the dark, he bring me to the light. And it's so beautiful, living with him, walking with him. And doesn't matter how strong you are, doesn't matter. He just with you, and he loves you.
Well, it's, yes. Thank you, Lord. When you're 9 years old, even at 9 years old, you're searching for God. And the beauty of the Christian story is that what we discover is actually God has been the one who's always been searching for us.
Yes. Amen.
And so he drew you to the church, you heard the message, you responded to Jesus. Mm-hmm. We're going to fast forward now, quite a few years. So you're living in Canada now. Dariush, you were trained as an auto mechanic up until recently. You were working as an auto mechanic. You were also giving pastoral leadership here at the North Shore Iranian Church. Maybe tell us, what is God doing among Iranians here on the North Shore and in your church?
Yeah, I involved to the North Shore Iranian Church 2012. We were at that time we were 35, 6 people in that church. So we went through many problems in our church. Maybe some of you guys heard about that. But we know that God is working in Iranian hearts. And when I started as a pastor from 2017, starting servicing the Lord in that church, and I don't know what happened. People are keep coming. 2017, we baptized 40 people. 2018, we baptized over 80 person. And even now, we baptized more than 40 people so far. And more than 70 people, they are in baptism classes, and they keep coming. So the amazing thing is, when they come to the church, we ask them, so when did you hear about Jesus? 95% of them, they heard about Jesus before they come in Canada.
In Iran.
In Iran, because in Iran, there are lots of underground churches. So, for example, there's a city in Iran, it's called Mashhad. Mashhad is a city, very religious city. So it's a center of religious in Iran. So religious university, everything is there. More than 2,500 underground churches in Iran. Yeah. This is unbelievable. And that's not our, because we are smart, because I'm a good person. That's because in the Bible, God promised that one day I'm going to put my throne in Iran. And we believe that. And we don't know what to do. They keep coming, and we need help. Honestly, we don't know what to do. Maybe some of you guys may know, you know Mo. He's one of our elders in the church. So a couple years ago, Mo was going to the Lonsdale to evangelize gospel, and he was praying to find someone. So whole day, he didn't even find one person. But now Mo says, just be sitting here, and they're just coming. Yeah. Praise the Lord. He's amazing, and he's working with every Iranian heart. Yes.
How can we as a church be praying for the two of you and your church these days?
Very good question. You know, we are under pressure, honestly. So I am the only full-time person in our church to serve God. So the rest of our people, they work. So Iranian people, they are emotional person. They when they come to Jesus, so their expectation is so high because they come from a religion that just fear them, hurt them. So when they come to Christianity, the first thing they heard about is about love. So they don't just want to hear about love. They want to see love. So where? From us. Not just talking, acting. So we're trying our best. Honestly, we are driving high speed on the highway to do what we can do. So just pray for us, and God help us not to like help people to have new faith, to make them be a disciple of Christ. Because that's important. Jesus never said, go make everyone Christian. He said, go make them disciples. So pray for us to go that way, and also pray for us to God protect me and Layla, because I want to, honestly, I want to be a good husband. I am. Is that right?
Yes, you are. Doesn't matter. Jesus loves
yes.
you.
And good father, because I need to spend time with my kids, with my wife, and at the same time, spending time with church. So pray for us, please. Yeah.
And for me as a woman, so there are a lot of women in Iran, they're suffering, and from the religions who says the woman, that says woman's women are last.
Yeah.
So they're so, let's say they're not second citizen, they're maybe last or bottom line. And when they're coming to the church, they're not just coming to give their pressure, everything to Jesus, they are seeking for true love. And they've been through a lot of things. So as a couple, so there are a lot of things between them. Please pray for our women, couples, children, our youth. When they are coming here, over there is religion, so don't touch this one, don't do this one. Here is free country. Sometimes they get lost. They don't know what they are doing. So we know our strength, we cannot do anything. So we just want to pray. And we know when we pray, Holy Spirit, so help us when I open our mouth, how we talk to them. When we want to act, God gonna help us how we act with them. So that's the kind of challenge the Iranian church has for newcomers. Really is challenges because the Christianity culture is a new culture between Iran. So it's been more than 12 years, me and Darish and me, we are Christians, so we kind of halfway and we know some parts, but for those they are coming just through, so it's very hard. They're in the middle of the way and they don't know. So they're gonna go to religion part or they're gonna come to the love part. Sure. So they lost, I can say, especially teenage people. Especially for them. They really need our prayers and they need our help.
Well, I would love to pray for the two of you right now. I'm so glad that you were with us.
Thank you.
So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your wisdom and kindness in reaching out to Dariush and Layla. And not just to them, Lord, many, many of their extended family members have come to know Jesus. We thank you for these underground churches all throughout Iran that are talking about the love of God that is made real to us in the person of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that your truth would continue to be proclaimed boldly and powerfully through Iran and all over the world where Iranians have fled in this kind of diaspora. We pray that the good news of Jesus would be not only heard but received. And as they've asked this morning, I want to pray for Pastor Dariush and Layla that they would know your wisdom and your strength. Amen. That you would give them the ability to balance all of the many things going on in their church life, but also protect the love that they have for one another, that you would allow them to be wise and loving and present parents to their two boys. We pray, Father, that as Iranians continue to come to their church, that you would open their eyes and their ears, and that they would come to experience the love that is for them in Jesus. Lord, we think about women coming from Iran who have grown up in a culture where they've heard that they are second or third class citizens. They haven't known love in the way that they've wanted and needed to receive it. And so, Jesus, we pray that you would be particularly tender and kind, that they would come to see how valuable and precious they are to you. And in this North Shore Iranian community, Lord, I pray that they would feel cherished and celebrated and loved and valued, even as they say yes to Jesus. Amen. And so, God, we pray for your Holy Spirit's fullest blessing Amen. On this couple, this Amen. Family, this church, and may there continue to be a powerful harvest among Persians here Amen. On the North Shore. And Amen. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you.
Oh, bless you. God bless you. Let's thank them for being with us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Earlier this week, as Dariush and I were enjoying a good meal, and we talked a lot about football because both of us love the game, one of the things that stood out for me as we talked was just the hunger for God that is taking place within the hearts of Iranian people. They are finding in Jesus these days something that they never found in Islam. They're finding peace and hope and life and the love that the two of you talked about. Layla mentioned when she went to the church for the first time and the pastor was preaching, he was preaching from that scripture where Jesus was in the temple and he was observing this widow who came to the temple, and in an act of tremendous generosity and faith, she gave away the very last penny that she had. And Dariush relayed to me that as Layla was listening, one of the promises God gave her that day is God said to Layla, I'm going to make you like that woman. If you give me everything that you have, I will make you free. And Jesus continues to speak this promise over us today. If we give him all of our lives, he can make us free. Now, the thing is, in our culture, we're told the exact opposite. We're told that the only way to find a satisfying life is to live for yourself and get all that you can. But God has designed the world in such a way that we only truly find life when we give our life to Jesus. When Jesus began his public ministry, he began preaching a very straightforward message. We find it in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Jesus said, it's time. The kingdom of God is near. Seek forgiveness, change your actions, and believe this good news. And I have to believe that some of you are here this morning with us, and you're hungry for peace or hope or for a fresh start in life. And the good news that we find in Jesus is that you can begin again with God, that God can wipe the slate of your life clean. He can make you new if you will let him. And the good news is, Layla talked about this earlier, we can't actually make ourselves right before God. None of us are good enough. And the good news is, you don't have to. You don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to perform for God. God has already taken the first step towards you in Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave us the best gift of all. His own beloved Son. And so God the Son became human. He took on our flesh and blood. And this is the way of love. Dariush talked earlier that real love isn't just talking about a feeling, it's action. People need to see it and experience it. Real love always seeks concrete expression. There's never love apart from action. To give is to love, and to love is to give. And God loved the world so much that he gave us his Son. God loves you so much that he willingly, joyfully became what we are, that we might be adopted into his family. In 1 John 3:16, Jesus is pointed to as the final word on God's love. This is what the Apostle John writes. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we've been singing about it all morning, but Jesus' cross is the centerpiece of God's rescue operation. The forgiveness that Jesus offers makes a way for all of us to be in relationship with God, both now and forever. And many, many years ago now, I made a decision to surrender to this love. On that day, I invited Jesus to forgive my sins and begin to lead my life. And that decision, more than any other decision I've made, has shaped me and who I've become. In Jesus, I found a peace that can sustain me through life's storms. Through Jesus, I found a joy that persists even in the middle of difficulty. Through Jesus, I've been ushered into a living hope that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And my prayer for you is that his peace, his joy, his love, and his hope will be yours in abundance. It's available to you through Jesus. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come and join me on stage. They're going to lead us in one concluding song. As they do, let me invite you to bow your heads with me as I pray. So, Father, we rejoice in your kindness to Dariush and Layla and their extended family. And even as we rejoice in what they found in Jesus, we turn our hearts to you and we ask Jesus that you would pour out your love and goodness and kindness upon our lives. We too are desperate and hungry. And what we find in you, Jesus, could not be found anywhere else, not in living for ourselves, not in Islam, not anywhere. We're hungry for peace within and peace with others. We're hungry, Lord, for a joy that persists no matter what's happening in our life. We want to live our lives from a place of hope, knowing that today is secure, but so is tomorrow and forever. And Jesus, you're the one in whom all of this can be found. And so we give our lives to you. We ask you for your forgiveness. We pray, come and lead our lives, Jesus, that we might know this love of God that changes everything. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand.